is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Cross and the kingdom. The cross is the doorway, is what allows us to enter into the kingdom and to be a part of the kingdom. You know, God's greatest desire isn't just to forgive sins. He did that, Jesus Christ on the cross. If that were it, if that were all it was about, then every human being on planet Earth would be saved. We'd be going to heaven because He died for all. Everyone would be saved. There's also the other part of the equation, the kingdom. Jesus came and said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He came to establish the kingdom.
Are you living a life of preparedness for the kingdom of God that is to come? Today, Pastor Troy challenges believers to be ready for the upcoming great banquet in heaven. Your Christian life does not just begin and end with the cross. You're called to be dressed for heaven here on earth, even after the power of the cross takes place. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with today's study.
The rebuilding of the temple. Even in their ceremonies, they remember the temple. They long for the temple. They're looking for the temple. It's part of their ceremony. And they joke around about it and they'll say that actually it's the last time that the husband gets to put his foot down like that. Since those who were invited refused, the king doesn't want an empty banquet. And he's not going to have an empty banquet. He's going to have guests. So he says in verse 8, he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now Jesus suggests that those who were supposed to be the important people, the nation of Israel, the Jewish leaders, they were not found worthy. You guys don't even have the right attitude. This is more important. I got these things. You're invited, but you aren't worthy. So many don't seem to have time for Jesus. And in this case, it says that because they didn't have time, he sends out to any who will come. Any who will come. Notice the call was not for the wise and the learned. It wasn't for the smug and the self-righteous. It wasn't for the rich, the upstanding citizen. It was for anyone who would come. Two parts of it. Anyone, all of us qualifies for that part. Anyone who would come. There's a coming. Need to come. There's a response. You can have an invitation to a wedding, but unless you go, you're not going to experience the wedding. It says they gathered together all whom they found, both good and bad. The idea would knock the religious leaders' ideas of self-righteousness. We're worthy. We don't need to be baptized. We don't associate with Gentiles. We are worthy. We're isolationists. We're in our bubble and we're perfect and everybody should look at us. It knocked their idea of that and said, you know what? We're inviting everyone, good and bad, to be part of this. Now, they don't stay that way, as we'll read in just a moment. But everyone was invited. The religious leaders often noted that Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. He was around them. He sat with them. They didn't like that. Now, he did not sit with tax collectors and sinners in their sin going their direction. Never did that. Jesus, we're going to have a party here. We're tax collectors and harlots. Why don't you just hang out with us? We know you like us. And so we're going to have this party. We're going to do this, man. And, you know, bring your own wine. So just come on, Jesus. He never hung out with them. Never. He hung out with repentant sinners. So they were sinners. They still didn't know how to walk the walk. So they still, others would look at them and go, hey, that's a sinner. That's a harlot. But they were repentant. And even though they had not grown or changed or anything, they were repentant. And the Lord was willing to invest in them and to sit with them and to eat with them. They didn't have to be all cleaned up, perfect, and fix their reputation. They just needed to be willing to receive, to repent, and follow Him. And He would hang with them right then. Didn't say in 15 years, I will hang with you. But right then, He was willing. He didn't come for the cream of the crop. Jesus said, it's not the well who need a physician, but the sick. We got to understand that we are sick, and I need to get well. Not I'm sick, and I'm going to stay sick, Lord, but I need you. I need a physician. He didn't come for the cream of the crop. He came for the lost, the defeated, the hopeless, the brokenhearted, any who would respond. Scripture says, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. So it's the sense that we're in a lost state. We don't know we're lost, even. Usually when you're lost, you don't really realize it until much later. You have a sense, but then at some point, you're only humble enough to cry out for directions once it's like confirmed. Okay, we're lost. All right, let's ask some directions. Until then, you're okay to wander, men mostly, to wander and get further lost. But Jesus says we don't have to be lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Though He seeks the lost, and though He calls them, He goes out to the highways and byways. Listen, this is important. He does not leave them that way. Read verse 11. But when the king comes in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. You got to understand this. This is not somebody who said, I reject the invitation. I reject it. This is somebody who said, I want to be a part of it. I want to go. I heard about the invitation. I'm showing up. I'm here. I'm coming. In fact, He is here. He's right in the midst of everybody. He showed up because, I think because Jesus adds this, for many are called, but few are chosen, He would be considered one of those who was called, but not chosen. He heard about the wedding somehow, and He went. But He was not received by the king because He did not have on something very important. The proper attire. At a wedding feast like this, where commoners were invited, the king would often provide the garments to be worn for the event. The king would provide them because you didn't have any usually as a commoner. You weren't going to come in something that was real dignified, so he would provide you the clothes. And you would be wise to respect him by putting on those clothes when you go to that wedding. Not just showing up in whatever you want to. It's not a suggestion that you put on the garment. You put on the garment. The reason so that the event would have class, dignity. It'd be a festive event with unity. If someone was not invited, obviously they would not have the garment to wear, right? And if someone were to accept the invitation, they were invited, but refused to put on the garments, well, that would be seen as disrespectful, right? Well, I mean, wouldn't you think that? Here's what you need to wear. Yeah, right. And then you show up like this guy did. He shows up. He doesn't have a garment, whether he didn't have it or he had it and chose not to wear it. He's not in the garment. Why would someone not wear the wedding clothes? If they're given the wedding clothes, why would they not? Well, first, if they don't have them, they can't wear them. But second, maybe they think to themselves, this isn't cool. This garment is not cool. And I would not want my friends to see me in this garment. Maybe they don't like the garment. Not a matter of cool. I just don't like it. It's stuffy. It's hot. It's not me. I don't want to wear something that's not me. I want to be me. If the king wants me at the wedding, he's going to get me, not that. Now, there's a problem with that. Scripture says that you can't come as you. You must come in Christ. You cannot come as you. He sends out an invitation, wants you at the wedding, but you can't come as you. He's given clothes. What is the garment here? What is this man missing? In the context of Jesus' parable and considering the audience that he's speaking to, it seems that it's the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness that he leads us into. That righteousness. See, the religious leaders were content to stand in their own righteousness. They were content to say, I am good enough. We have it all figured out. We don't need baptism. We don't need to go and do John's baptism thing. We don't need to repent either. We're fine. So they were content to stand in their own righteousness. So they will be refused, rejected. They weren't found worthy. So the next batch of servants, remember there's another batch. This batch goes out into the highways and byways and collects anybody. Anybody who'll say, I'll come. Anybody who will come. Who do you think those servants are? They weren't the prophets. Those servants would be the apostles. The apostles are the ones that are going to be sent out beyond Israel into the world and get those who come from good and bad backgrounds. It doesn't matter who you are, who you were, you are invited. Question is, will you come? Will you come, and will you come the right way? They will go into all the world, to Jews and Gentiles, tax collectors, harlots, and they will, as the scripture says, not just convert people, but they will disciple them. They will make disciples. See, it's this process of discipleship that causes us to put on the different clothes, to start getting dressed for heaven. We become more Christ-like, more pure in heart. This is the process that begins to happen. Those who would desire to attend this great banquet are to put on the clothing given them. Listen to this, Romans 13, 12 through 14. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust or in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its desires. To receive the invitation and to refuse to put on the garment would be like an insult, right? It would be like saying, I have the wedding garment. You've told me what it is, but no thanks. I don't like it. Or, it's not cool. I don't want my friends to see me in that. Or, it's just not me. It's not me. Paul the Apostle understood that one. He said, it's not me. It's no longer me who lives, but Christ lives in me. I don't do what Paul the Apostle wants and likes to do anymore. I do what Christ leads me to do. It's a difficult statement, but it's a very clear one. Many are called, but few are chosen. You know, there are two major themes in the New Testament throughout the Scriptures. One, we stumble onto and we only look at that one, and that's the cross. What's it all about? The cross. Not true. It's not all about the cross. It's also about the kingdom. The cross and the kingdom. The cross is the doorway, is what allows us to enter into the kingdom and to be a part of the kingdom. You know, God's greatest desire isn't just to forgive sins. He did that, Jesus Christ on the cross. If that were it, if that were all it was about, then every human being on planet Earth would be saved, would be going to heaven, because he died for all. Everyone would be saved. There's also the other part of the equation, the kingdom. Jesus came and said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He came to establish the kingdom. And in that kingdom, there is lordship, there is submission, there is following him, there is fulfilling your role in the kingdom, there's putting on the kingdom garment, the kingdom clothing. And so there is more than just Jesus died on the cross and I believe it. Because James says, Satan believes that. What good is it doing? And he talks about this thing called faith. Faith is an action. Faith means I believe it and I'm going to act upon it. So there's action that accompanies it. You don't do to get saved. You don't do to get saved. You do because you believe. I believe in him because I really believe I'm doing. Those who would desire to attend this great banquet are to put on the clothing given them. How do you know if you're chosen? It's your willingness to put on Christ. Your willingness to put on Christ reveals. Now, it's not 100 proof, because some people are willing to clean up their life. And I need religion, I need church, and I'm going to clean up. So you can't just say, oh, he's cleaning up, he must be saved. It is the willingness to put on Christ that is the evidence that not only have you been invited, but you're preparing for the wedding. That you are, in fact, going to be there, and you're not going to be one who's improperly dressed for the wedding. It's not easy to live that kind of life for anyone. You know, we begin desensitized to things. Desensitized to, because of the world, different things we've experienced, different things we've gone through, and we're desensitized, calloused. I remember I used to watch certain movies, and I had since gone back to watch some of those movies, having grown in the Lord, and that there, I just can't believe that I would have watched those. I'm like, I had no idea there was so much in those that I didn't see before. And it's like, man, it's still funny in the flesh. I want to watch it. And it's funny, but I can't enjoy it now because of all the stuff in there. That begins to happen in the life of somebody who's getting clothed, getting ready, getting dressed. As a father, I have learned the importance of something I really didn't have a lot of value in when I was younger, and that is purity. Especially with daughters. It almost makes me cry. I mean, Stephen Curtis Chapman has a song about I danced with Cinderella. I'm going to start crying now. I danced with Cinderella, and then she's gone, and your kids, you want to protect them at all costs. You want them to experience purity. You want to protect them. You don't want to throw them in places where they're just going to get splashed and doused with mud and junk just because. What do they do at their house? I don't know. They're okay. They'll be all right. You don't know. They get exposed to certain things. I remember one time my son was younger, much younger. Way too young for this word. And we were driving, and all of a sudden, my son says, blank. Okay, it was one cuss word, but I don't want to give the rest of it away. So, anyway, he said that. I'm driving. I'm at a stoplight. And it's a good thing I was driving and at a stoplight, because I didn't have time to go back and choke and kill and do. I was like, what in, what? Where did you get that? You know, where did you get that? He's like, that guy's shirt. And I looked, and right next to me was a guy protesting something, and he had a shirt on that said blank and his opinion. And again, it was a good thing I was driving, and there was a light about to turn green, because if I had had too much time, I might have got out and lost my salvation. I was that upset that he took something from me by showing that vile thing. Now, there was a time I laughed at stuff. There was a time I thought, they just don't know. But as you grow, those things offend. They anger you. They don't make you hate. I didn't even think about him as a person, his heart. I hated what was coming out because it defiled. And it took something from me. I'm trying to protect my kids. I'm trying to let them see that which is, the scripture says, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is right. And he had no right to force that on my kids. But the scripture talks about, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We're in the world. We see it. We pass by billboards and we don't even realize that person is in their underwear. We don't even realize it. We don't even think about it. Think about it. Driving by, would you walk around in your underwear? You going to come to church in your underwear? No, absolutely not. You going to answer the door in your underwear? No. But someone on a billboard, they get paid for that. They're in their underwear. And we're okay with it. We can't avoid it, but we shouldn't be okay with it. Revelation 19:8 says that at the wedding feast, God is going to give the garments, right? But see, as the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit, he leads us in the way that we should go. As he leads us in the way that we should go, we begin to change. We begin to put on the socks. I'm putting on the socks. And these are works. The works don't save us. The Lord is leading us. But they are works nonetheless. Got to put on the sock, right? Got to change things and adjust. So as you're doing this and you're becoming more and more Christ-like, you're being clothed. And it says that he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's putting us in our wedding garments so that he issues us that which was, well, our works in a sense, but it was Christ's righteousness and really the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, let me ask a question. Is that work going on in you? Because if not, you may need Christ. You can't do it on your own. You don't even have the clothes to wear. You don't have the clothes to put on. You can't do it. Or maybe you are his, and maybe you know that work is going on, but you're rebellious. You don't want to hear it. I don't want to do it. I hear it. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to put on the garment. Let this be a warning to you. Maybe what you need to do is confess your sin. Confess your pride. Come before the throne of God and let him cleanse you and wash you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No process. No long-term 5 years. I'll see if it's real, if the conversion is real. This day he comes in and he brings light and he brings life and he begins to do a work in you and he dresses you for the kingdom of heaven. So are you being dressed for heaven? Are you dressing for heaven?
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is always available in the iTunes store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us. And please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in